Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, hey, everybody. Dexter Guff here. So glad to have your ears on my mouth. And welcome to another episode of Dexter Guff is Smarter Than You, the self-help podcast where I am desperately trying to get you to lead your very best life. I hope you're doing it. I really do. I do know three people who are doing that because I'm very excited to announce that the Dexter Guff Junior Community College Night School Online for Everyone has had its first three graduates. That's right. Here we are, only a few weeks into the online community college night school for everyone, and we've already had graduates. So it was a beautiful ceremony this weekend. Caps and gowns were donned in the graduates' houses, because of course they did the graduation ceremonies in their house at night online. But it was beautiful, nevertheless. So I do want to give a heartfelt congratulation to Derek, Amber, and Miresh, who are the first three graduates of the DGJCCNSOE. Congratulations, Bats. Derek, who is now a commercial pilot. Amber, who is an orthopedic surgeon. And, of course, Miresh, who's a professional dancer. Graduated from the professional dance program online at night. So good luck to all of you graduates. Hopefully you will find an employer that will honor those diplomas as legitimate. And if you do, please let me know who hires you so that I can tell other students where their avenue for success lays. Incidentally, I do know that Derek has already been hired by a major U.S. commercial carrier. So congratulations, Derek. Look forward to seeing you in that cockpit. Anyways, Tammy, with that, why don't you play our opening theme? And maybe Miresh, if you are listening, you can professionally dance to it.
Let's do this.
D, this is going to be fun.
I dare you to listen.
It's time.
E,
on your mental treadmill, what takes priority? Your goals or your dreams?
Dexter Guff.
X,
technology, entertainment, design. Throw that out the window. That's old news.
Are you kidding me?
Come on now.
What was your biggest failure? No. Let me guess.
I don't think you're ready.
I'm Dexter Guff, and I'm smarter than you.
I just cannot get over what an incredible weekend this was. That beautiful graduation ceremonies. And I just go back to the look on Amber's face, you know, as she realized that after only 4 weeks, she's now an orthopedic surgeon. She can practice orthopedically in surgery and all the responsibilities that go with that. Anyways, just a beautiful weekend. Congratulations, graduates. So happy that I could scan you those diplomas that you can hang in your cockpit, in your surgery room, or in your professional dancer's area. Anyways, big show for you today. Very excited to share this show with you. My feature interview today is with David C. Baker. David is actually somebody that reached out to the program. He's actually going to be on the show. David C. Baker has been called the expert's expert by the New York Times. So you know that's legitimate. David is a published author. He is a speaker. He is an advisor helping entrepreneurial experts make better business decisions. So David will be in the hot seat a little later in the program as two experts go toe to toe. So there's going to be a lot of expert takeaway today, as there always is on my show. Now, I do want to talk to you about summertime. That's right. Summer is around the corner. And have you made plans for a summer trip with your family? Because if not, why not consider a trip to beautiful downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan? And more specifically, my Guff Jungles. That's right. You know it. The indoor chia seed jungle oasis that I've created for kids, where there's exotic animals that, you know, kids can, well, they've got to be careful, but I'll leave that up to them to figure out what careful means. But they can go and explore in these beautiful chia jungles while mom and dad maybe tuck around back to the Guff Grotto. Kind of an adults only experience. If you have not made plans this summer, please consider Guff Jungles. And to that end, Tammy, I would like you to play again the ad for Guff Jungles, because we did spend a lot of money on that. So you can play that now.
Coming this summer to Ann Arbor, Michigan, it's Guff Jungles, North America's only indoor chia seed jungle. With tangled chia sprouts and shoots over 11 feet tall, you'll swear you've entered a South American rainforest.
Wow.
Let your little ones get wild as they explore the dense, moist jungle floor with other free-roaming jungle friends, like spider monkeys, three-toed sloths, badgers, anacondas, and even two adorable jaguar cubs. And while the kids lose themselves in Guff Jungles, mom and dad can slip around back and enjoy Guff Grotto, the adult-only exotic sex park where clothing is always an option.
Look, it's anaconda.
With over 38,000 square feet of indoor fun, there's literally something for everyone. Guff Jungles and the backdoor accessible Guff Grotto, located on I-94 right beside the Pittsfield Septic Warehouse. Guff Jungles, get wild!
Look, a jaguar.
I'm Dexter Guff, and I approve this ad. Oh my god, I just love that ad. I really do. I mean, it makes me want to go to those jungles, even knowing what I know. Which is to say, a baker, for instance, doesn't eat their own baked goods because they know what they've put in those ingredients. So it's that analogy. I hope that ad works on you and that you want to visit the jungles and the grotto. Now, today, doing something a little bit different, not going into the Thought Palace, because instead what I would like to do is share with you some very helpful tips on giving a great wedding speech. Tammy, can you play some kind of nuptial-themed music to underscore what's going to be a very valuable takeaway experience for my audience? Thank you. Beautiful. Love it. It's wedding season. It's one of my favorite times of the year. Each year around this time, I start to get that old familiar itch. Will I get married again? Is it my time again? Probably not. I mean, I'm not really in a relationship particularly. I mean, you know, I've been on two dates with Tammy's cousin Pammy, but she never returned that note that I sent her, so I don't think nuptials are in our future. I mean, Tammy could probably give me some intel on that, but, well, she's quiet as a church mouse. Regardless, it is wedding season. And even if you're not the one getting married, getting prepped for wedding season is still a must add to your calendar. Because if you're like me, most weekends from now until Thanksgiving are booked with weddings. Mexico, Napa, NYC, Milwaukee, black tie, semi-formal, tropical formal. There are all kinds of weddings, but they all have one thing in common. No. Not the love, not the vows, not that delicious cake, not the dancing. A wedding is really about the speeches. Long after the marriage has dissolved into a deep ongoing misery that only endless commitment can really create, it's the speeches that are remembered and that truly stand the test of time. So if you've been tapped to deliver a wedding speech, let me give you a little wedding wisdom from an old pro. They say a wedding is the bride's big day, but by the time we get to the reception, the bride's been shining her marital glow since the crack of dawn, so when family and friends are on their entree course and the mic is hot, it's time for the bride to take a back seat and let the real show begin. Now here's my opening remark that never fails. It's attention-grabbing, it sets a tone, and it lets people know that the nuptials are over and the headliner at the Apollo has just found his light. Sit down, father of the bride. Sorry, best man, I'm a better man. Take a hike, maid of honor, because I am maid of honor. Enough of those vows. It's time for the wows, because I'm about to throw down big time. After the applause and hoots and hollers have died down, it's time to introduce yourself. Now, leave no stone unturned. You never know who is in that crowd. You might be giving your speech in front of a potential investor, so make sure to give a thorough macro view snapshot of yourself and of your accomplishments. It might sound something like this. As a self-made CEO, CFO, and COO of my personally branded conglomerate of companies under the umbrella of Guff Industries International, which grossed into the nine figures this past quarter alone, and as brother of the groom, I'm happy to be here. Now it's time to get down to brass tacks. The key to giving an epic wedding speech is knowing that it's got to be 50% toast and 50% roast. So power through the typical, I must say, what a beautiful bride we have, what a handsome groom, they're so loyal, so loving, they couldn't have chose better for their first spouse. But by the 45th minute, you're going to want to be mostly roasting and do a little networking too. It might sound like, everyone look under your chairs. You'll find a copy of my most recent book, except the groom. Under your chair, you'll find your dignity and half a tab of Viagra. Boom! You just got decimated! At this point, you're killing it. You're headed straight towards a standing O at your own sold-out arena comedy show. But remember, this is a wedding speech. And it's not a memorable wedding speech until something deeply personal and likely very secret about the newlyweds has been revealed. If you are the gatekeeper of that golden nugget, now's the perfect time to share. It could be the bride's undisclosed dislike of her new in-laws, or maybe some difficult revelations about the groom's gambling problems. Whatever it is, if it garners an audible gasp, then you've done your job. You've struck a chord, and your speech is guaranteed to resonate with family and friends for a lifetime. Now, time to request Uptown Funk from the DJ. Drop that mic and destroy the dance floor. Happy wedding season. Now stay tuned, because my conversation with David C. Baker is coming up next. Boom! My guest today has been called the expert's expert. He is a published author of five books. Wow. Okay. Three of which focus on the central elements of business expertise. He is a speaker. He is an advisor. I like that. He is an entrepreneurial triple threat. He's a lot like me, I think, from what I've been reading so far. His name is David C. Baker, and he joins us on the program from Tennessee. David C. Baker, welcome to the big show.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. I have been looking forward to this for a long time. I feel really honored that you invited me to come along as a guest. I can't wait to have a conversation with you today.
I'll tell you right now, David, I wish I shared your enthusiasm, but of course, I do these interviews so often, it's hard for me to really raise that excitement dial. But I do understand what it's like to be excited to talk to someone. And so I empathize with that and I celebrate that.
Well, thank you. I don't know what you're intending to ask me today. I'm happy to answer any question that you have. I'm actually hoping to pick up some things as well from you. I've looked at your podcast and have been excited just to learn about how you make it successful and so on. So I don't know if we'll have the time. If we do, I'd sure love to ask you some questions.
We'll have to make the time because quite honestly, I think this is one of the biggest regrets that most guests on my program have, is that long after the interview is done, they will always say to me, I just wish I had asked you some questions. And that happens all the time, because I think, you know what, instinctually, you come on as a guest, you expect all the questions are going to be asked to you. But I think a lot of what my listeners want to hear is some of my proprietary information. So please feel free to pepper in any of your questions as I hammer you with questions as well, because I do want to talk about what it is that you do in your own words. David, what do you do?
I basically tell people what to do. So they're confused about something in their business life and they need an outside voice. And I come in and I listen to them kind of carefully. And then I just stop them, usually when I've learned enough. And then I tell them exactly what to do. So it's like an outside perspective. They're inside their own jar. That's right. Kind of how I think of it. And they can't read their own label. So I'm just reading the label for them on the
outside. And then you're there sort of deciding, well, I'm going to punch some, you know, oxygen holes in the top of this tin jar lid, or should I just let these guys, you know, breathe whatever oxygen's left there until it's done?
Now, you did say about your sort of payment practices. You were mentioning just before we had this conversation something about your guidelines for how you get paid or,
right.
What were you describing to me?
Well, and this is a little bit unusual, and I don't know, it may help your listeners, I'm not sure, but I always require full prepayment, and there are lots of reasons for that.
Yes.
In some cases, it's because I want to be free to say anything that comes to my mind, right, and not be afraid of getting paid. The other is sometimes they'll disagree with the quality of the advice, even though I'm very confident in the advice, and they I had one client who wanted their money back and so on years ago. So I just switched to that policy. I was a little nervous about it, just honestly, because I wondered if there'd be a drop off in my business. But actually, it's been fantastic. People think of me differently now. They don't hire me unless they're really serious about working with me. So I'd say it's been one of those experiments that's been useful. It's been helpful. I really look back. It's
interesting.
Great.
Full prepayment, which I like very, very much, because then, of course, you're free to either give advice, not give advice, not even show up. You've got that money in the bank. So that's done. So I like that. And if I may, I'm going to go further with an analogy here.
Yeah.
You know those candy dishes that are just simply open? But, you know, it could be a restaurant.
Restaurants, and, sure. Doctor's offices.
Oh
yeah,
God.
The ones they tell you not to touch.
Well, just the fecal count in there is just outrageous. And so you'll see that open candy dish where there's no payment needed. People can just go up and grab it. People rarely do. But as soon as you put that candy in a one of those coin-operated, you put in your 25 cents and you turn that knob and out shoots the candy. People love that. People love those because they have paid. They've paid first. They don't even know if it tastes good. They don't care. They've paid. Mm. That transaction has happened. Then the candy's in your hand and you eat it. And I think that's very much what you were describing. Or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I mean, there's nobody standing there to give them their money back.
That was a trick question.
Isn't good if it's stale or something. So I thought I was the only person doing this, but it sounds like some other people are doing the same thing in their businesses. So that actually makes me feel pretty good.
Certainly the candy industry would be all over that, I would say, is what it sounds like to me. But this is, I like very much what you're describing, David. I think a lot of my listeners on the show would be surprised to know that we are physically right now. We're not in the same space. You are in Tennessee, my friend. Is that right?
Yeah.
In Nashville.
One of the flyover states, they call them, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, I make sure that I land when I go past Tennessee because I do love a little bit of that barbecue, some of that open pit barbecue, and of course, a little bit of the music scene in Nashville. So I don't fly over, man. I touch down, spend a good 3 hours there, you know, throw back a little bit of bourbon, and then it's back on that plane to New York. So I like that very, very much. But you were saying that you have this 61 acres. Is this part of your retreat that you've got a retreat, I understand?
Well, the retreat is separate. So where I live and where my office is on 61 acres. Yeah. But I have a writing retreat where I go to write my books. It helps me kind of get away from the normal everyday stuff. It's not very big. It's on just 6 acres, but it has a pretty amazing view. There's a 700 foot drop, right off the bluff. And
that
you're looking
sounds
over
terrifying.
These beautiful. Yeah, we don't usually ask our friends who are little kids to come because they kind of have to watch them all the time. But
other than little kids, even the very old.
Or the very old or pets, right.
Sure.
So we're pretty careful about who we invite. But we do let other people use it. In fact, you're actually welcome to use it sometime if you would like to. It's it's set up. We have internet access. We've got hot tub. There's places to take hikes. There's a lot of old movies you can put in the DVD player. And it's just a pretty awesome place.
I'll tell you what. You better ask for a pretty high damage deposit because when D-Guff goes someplace, you never know what's going to happen. And I certainly don't hold back. You know, if the inspiration moves me, anything could go on. So I do appreciate that invite. And I'm very curious about a creative retreat for writing and for artists, too. Is this right?
Yeah, that's right. So we have artists and painters, musicians, writers, people who actually poets who just need to write memes or they're working on the next piece or whatever it is. They just need to think in a different setting. And so we've just created this place. It's kind of a mecca. I mean, we're there sometimes, but we let other people use it as well. And it's just part of what comes with working with me. It's one of the benefits of they get to use this place. So yeah, it's worked out really well.
I'll tell you right now, definitely with those poets and artists and musicians, make sure they pay up front because you got to make sure that there's actually, you know, that check, you know what I'm saying? That check was actually clear.
Especially the poets and the musicians.
Oh my goodness, forget it. I mean, that can be.
They're lucky if they're making any money, actually.
Can be a lifetime of haikus to just get that $100 to put towards that, you know, that writing retreat, I would say.
Yeah,
interesting.
Right.
I've never understood that. Why go down the artist's path? What a nightmare. I do want to talk to you about a couple of things because you are an expert, two experts, and, well, I'm an expert, and there are a couple of issues that I, well, that you're probably aware of that I'd love for you to weigh in on.
I'm happy to. If I can help, I'm glad to do it.
My God, I would love for you to help because I am literally stuck in a couple of issues, one of which is Tammy, who is bringing a lot of grief into the office still about this damn horse. Sorry, Tammy. I had to go there. I don't know if you've been following along, but Tammy had a very tragic incident with having to put a horse down. And she's just filling the office with grief. She just can't get past this horse death. And I'm just wondering, you know, as one expert, expert to another expert, is there a way that I can sort of safeguard my office from this kind of grief?
You probably don't want to get another horse for her right away because she's still, but have you thought about,
she can't afford another horse on what she makes.
Well, probably right. And I'm hesitant to make this next suggestion because it sounds even silly to me, but I mean, would a rocking horse in the office, be kind of a break for her or would it just exacerbate the grief? I'm
That's
just not sure.
Question. I mean, interesting. So kind of having a rocking horse placebo that Tammy could kind of look at. And
it's not going to die, obviously, because it's not alive.
No,
and I mean,
no,
these are the
kind
of suggestions that I try to come up with for people. And some of them, they're just kind of silly, but you have to just explore all the options and be willing to throw out bad ideas.
Like an eternal equine friend that Tammy can have mounting safely here in the office as she chooses, rocking back and forth. Tammy, I have to say, David, honestly, that's a fantastic idea. I mean, even if it doesn't work for Tammy, I could even just see myself kind of coming in here, kicking back, on that horse because I myself, I don't love the smell of an actual horse. Certainly not the smell of clover in the end, which was Tammy's horse. That's still a smell that I'm telling you, it gets in the nose and you can't get rid of that smell of burning horse. But interesting. I do like that. Okay, I'm going to give that a shot. Now, this is the other thing, because you are a master negotiator as well. You've probably heard that I've been having some issues with my Dexter Guff site, my website, because it's currently owned by a plumber.
What's the name? People are supposed to go to what?
DexterGuffBand.com.
Oh, Band. Okay, sorry. Yeah,
talk about an artist pass that I wish I could redo. But anyways, that's a different story. But DexterGuff.com is still owned by this plumber. Now, I tried to hit him up. I don't know if you heard that conversation. I tried to to relinquish that damn site. That didn't work. And I was using some proprietary negotiating moves. I did a Dutch flip on him. And still, I could not get that site wrestled away from his grips. As a negotiator, where am I? What am I left with? I mean, I'm kind of at a loss here, David.
Well, oh, gosh, this is something that probably would require us to enter some sort of a consulting arrangement. I mean, I would have to ask you to pay up front, but let me just take a shot at it before we do that. One thing you could do is to make the Dexter Guff name so embarrassing that he would not want to own the website, right? Now, that would take a lot of work and it might be difficult to come back from.
So you're talking
about an option.
Doing something that besmirches my name in such a horrific way that even any association temporarily with interesting.
He may pay you to take the name is what I'm getting at. I don't know if that would work. That's one option. One thing the other thing I've seen people do is they buy Google AdWords so that when people are searching for Dexter Guff, it just redirects them to Dexter Guff Band. And then nobody even notices in, you know, the little browser bar that they've gone to a different site. That would be another option. But that one costs money.
But I like this first option of doing something so scandalous.
Yeah.
In a sex tape? I mean, that's probably something that would more celebrate the name. I like that, David. I like that a lot. I think there's a lot of good takeaway from that. I really do. Now, David, obviously, we've had a great conversation. There's been a lot of back and forth. I think a lot of takeaway from my audience. You are also a speaker. Is there a talk that you like giving the best?
Oh, yeah. It's one where people aren't quite expect. Actually, this is funny. Oh. At least it was to me anyway.
Okay.
Well, I was speaking at this conference and I was expecting about 100 people or so in the presentation. It wasn't a very big one.
Oh, no. And I would say.
You probably don't speak to groups that small. But about 3,000 people showed up.
What?
Yeah, and I was feeling pretty good at myself, and then I realized that there had been a typo in the program, and it was about how to get rich without hiring employees. I forget what it was supposed to say, but it was something, you know, all these people were here because they wanted to figure out how to run their businesses without employees because they were tired of managing them. So I actually went ahead and gave the talk, and it was fine. A few people walked out, not that many. Most of the people were still there at the end. So that it was successful enough. I've given that at several places.
Interesting.
And we just keep doing the typo thing again. So
like that. Yeah, I mean, I'd say, honestly, just given the response from that audience, I might write a book with that title. I mean, go all in on that. Get that thing on Amazon and see what happens. I mean, that's a book that's going to sell. It doesn't even matter what's behind the cover. Just having that on the cover.
That's my idea at this point. You probably would need to go with another one, but the concept you could use.
No, David. I think I just voiced back that idea to you. So I think at some level, I might have just ghostwritten for you.
When you put it that way,
heard that, right?
We'll work through this. We'll
get some paperwork on this immediately. Tammy, start printing that up, something we can shoot over to David immediately, because that was a pretty good idea. I just shot at him. You heard it here first from both D. Guff and David C. I thought you were going to jump in.
Baker. I can finish that if you want it, but I
know. Well, I thought I didn't know.
I'm still trying to figure out all this, you know, I'm trying to get to know you better and everything. And sorry, I missed that cue there.
That's fine. Well, it was really kind of my bad. I mean, I should have just jumped in. I don't know why, but it doesn't matter. David, what an amazing conversation that two experts have had and that a bunch of non-experts have gotten to listen to. I think what we've done here, if it were found as a time capsule by future generations, would in a lot of ways probably change the course of humanity, or they might look at it as a turning point. And I'm glad that we did this.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I could help you. And thank you for having me on. I've been listening to this podcast for so long. I didn't really think there was much chance that I could be a guest, because I know the kind of quality of guest you have. But
absolutely.
I've just been really thrilled to be on here, and I consider it a real honor. So thank you for having me on.
David, it is an honor that you honored me with that type of honor, and I don't take that lightly. That does resonate within me deeply. I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate the work that you are doing, brother. Keep that good work going. Keep on crushing it. And thank you for being on this show. What a great conversation. Thank you, David C. Baker. What a joy having you on the program. Two experts going toe-to-toe in an expert cage match where nobody was pinned. Everybody got the belt. So thank you, David C. Baker. If you want to find out a little bit more about David, go to his website, davidcbaker.com. And if you want to find out a little bit more about me, why not go to my website, which is DexterGuffBand.com. Or hey, reach out to me on social. Let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at DexGuff. And if you want to make it a little more personal, why not give me a phone call?
Oh, yeah, because you can do that. Call my 1-800-JOY-DEXTER number. Why not leave me a message? Let me know if you want to be on the program. Let me know if there's something I can help you solve. Or maybe you just want to toot your own horn. Do a little bit of humble bragging on my 1-800 line. Why not do that? What a wonderful way of celebrating your victories and maybe getting on this program. Anyways, have a great rest of your week. Go out there and crush it. You know you want to, so just do it. And join me next week, same time. Might do something a little different next week, shake things up. So you will definitely have to tune in and find out if I do. Until then, this is Dexter Guff, and I am out of here.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.